You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. When we hear about scams, many times we think, how in the world could somebody fall for that? Unfortunately, people do fall for these scams all too often. And scammers, they're getting better and better at tricking people into giving them money, whether it is through email, over the telephone, or through the postal service. Everyone needs to pause for a minute because you really do need to be aware of who you're giving your money to and why. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Boise Police Sergeant John Terry. He deals with these scammers and their victims on a daily basis. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon.
So you are assigned to the Property Crimes Division, and is it fair to say that you really do see victims of these scams on a daily basis?
Why, I cover property crimes and financial crimes, and I do see them on a daily basis. When you say scams, really financial crimes is what it is. Mm-hmm. People are being defrauded. They're contacted through the internet. They're contacted through their telephones. You get those scam phone calls all the time, and people say, oh, who would answer those calls? Well, somebody does. If you think just 1% of all the calls that get answered in a place like this, let's say we have, 500,000 people in the metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big number. Then another 1% fall for them, and I see them every day. Every day I get reports of scams. I get people calling me on the phone saying, hey, is there anything I can do? I get this all the time. It's a constant problem. And as long as the internet's here and as long as phones are here, we're going to keep seeing it. And it grows in the valley where other crimes that we're seeing in the Boise Police Department aren't growing. Financial crimes is a growing business.
And one that I kept getting was over the phone. And this was recently with getting a voicemail on my phone saying that there was a warrant out for my arrest because I had not called the IRS or something like that. And I mean, and it kept hitting my phone and kept hitting my phone. I tell you though, you listen to it enough and it makes your hackles go up a little bit, right?
It does. And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on you being a good person. Hearing somebody from who purports to be law enforcement say, oh, you're in trouble of some kind, and what's the first thing you want to do? You want to say, I want to resolve this matter. I want to make sure that my good name is kept and I don't fall for this. So tell me what I can do to do the right thing. And when they're trying to do the right thing, of course, they're falling into the trap that's set, and the trap is set, and now you will go hook, line, and sinker, and you will start giving them money, and instead of doing the right thing, which is hanging up, you start getting out your billfold, and you start giving them credit card information or doing what they say, which is going down to Walmart or somewhere like that to get gift cards. You buy the gift cards, and then, of course, they want you to send the numbers to them. So
talk to me about what are the most common, I know we're saying scams, but as you said, I mean, these are fraudulent crimes.
They're actual crimes, yes, they are.
I mean, they are crimes. Are there ones that are more common within southern Idaho that we see in particular here?
Well, when you say southern Idaho, really, again, what I'm talking about is the internet. So you're talking about the internet.
Anyway.
This is nationwide. This is going on all over the nation. What we'll do is we'll see some of these scammers. When I say scammers, that's just a generic term. I don't want to downplay the fact that these are serious crimes, they're serious financial crimes, and people are losing a lot of money. I've had people lose their life savings. I've had people give away $300,000-$500,000 that they take out of their retirement funds and give these to people, and they're sent overseas, and we never see it again. But these are real crimes and real scams. Mm-hmm. So as some of those scammers will get through their books, as it were, the area code is 208 that they're focusing on now. So you will see a large number of all of a sudden,
something coming through.
A romance scam or whether it's you have a warrant for your arrest. We have the grandparents scam. We have all these different scams, and they're on our website, the Boise Police website. They're also on the Attorney General's website, or you can just Google some of that information to see that. But typically, then you will get a proposal for some kind of scam, but they're also calling everybody else in the 208 for that same type of thing. And then when that doesn't work, they'll move on to the next one. It won't be that. It'll be something else.
So is it usually tied to something like you owe money or there's, you know, some type of warrant or it's the IRS? Is that what grabs people, because it seems like when we were seeing these, you know, these scams years ago, things coming from, you know, Africa and like the you know, African prince and all of that, we've kind of realized like, okay, that's not real. But these guys have gotten a lot savvier.
Correct. And you're talking West Africans, Nigerians is who you're talking about is primarily does it. We also have the Russians, which there's a large group of them doing that. Romance scams and scams is typically with the West Africans. Then you have the more nationalistic national security ones that are done with North Korea. And then you have some other ones with internet security and cyber theft with the Chinese. So there's all these people out there that are doing this. We're talking about scams that affect you that are calling you are primarily going to be the West Africans. Mm. Doesn't mean that other entities involved in it as well, because a lot of times we don't know who. But sometimes when we have trace of money, it goes back to somewhere in West Africa. So we see these scams. They're coming in, and they're just right at, and like you said, in the old days, they used to target people, but now they just throw it out. That's why they call it phishing with the PH.
All right.
They just start blanketing everybody with the
and
phone
see
number.
Who decides to engage?
A lot of them are computer generated. If you listen to them, you'll notice that this voice is not a real voice. Mm-hmm. It's computer activated, like your Siri. When you talk to Siri or she
and it
talks
pauses
to you.
When you say hello. So sure. It takes a minute. Yeah.
It's phonetically correct. You probably don't have a voice like mine on there. You have somebody who speaks digitally and is very understandable for the most part. So
I'm speaking with Boise Police Sergeant John Terry. We're talking about quite a few scams, which really are fraudulent crimes that are hitting the Boise metro area, but going beyond the metro area. So talk to me about gift cards. You mentioned this, but this is a real issue.
Certainly. So we have some other scams specific to our area. One of the common ones is they will call you and they will want you to buy gift cards for them, claiming that there's some issue. One of the more common ones we have is a CEO of a company. We have some smaller businesses. We have a lot of businesses in town where the CEO or the owner will call an employee and say, hey, don't hang up. I want you to do this for me, and I want you to do it for me while you're on the phone. What that does is it makes them stay locked into the scam, and they don't have an opportunity to hang up and call the real owner or CEO. And what that scammer will do is they will have the employee go down to Walmart or Rite Aid or somewhere where they sell gift cards and still be on the phone. And they will be on the phone. They will tell them to buy, to take the money out of the cash register, for instance, take it out of the safe or wherever. If they have access to the safe, maybe $2,000 to $5,000 worth, go down to Walmart, buy the gift cards, and give them to me over the phone while we're on the phone. Don't hang up on me, they will say. So then they will get that, and then you have to scratch off the numbers on the back and give mm-hmm. them that. So now they give them everything to basically steal. Let's say the number is $5,000 worth of gift cards, and it's gone. So by the time the employee hangs up and goes, oh, I'm so happy I helped my boss out, and then a little while later, the boss calls and says something to him, and
what happened to $5,000?
And it's gone. Yeah. And we try and retrieve it. By the time it's retrieved, we look in the gift cards, it's gone. The gift cards are gone and they're in a bank account overseas and we can't recover it.
So is someone falling for something like that because they may not have a personal relationship with the CEO? Because I'm thinking if you know who your boss is, you're going to be like, "That you're not my boss. You don't sound like my boss." But how does that happen?
Well, let's say a larger company, like I don't want to really name names.
But a large company numerous
with
employees.
Several franchises. Or it's a new employee who doesn't know who the boss is. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's from somebody in corporate and knows who his boss is, but he doesn't know the corporate thing, the person. So whatever trick they can use to get them to overcome their resistance and say, hey, go buy these gift cards. And if they can keep them on the phone long enough, they'll get them to go down to the store, buy the gift cards, and now they're out $5,000.
So what should people be doing? Because, you know, when we started seeing a lot of these scams coming up years and years ago, it seemed that we saw older people falling for this, but that's not necessarily the case anymore.
It's everybody. I get everybody from teenagers to older people, everything in between. It's very common. For a while, we were having a lot of the smaller stores that were staying open late, they were targeting those because they knew younger people were there and they weren't as savvy as some people, and they didn't oftentimes know who the owner was or the boss was, and they'd take money out of the day's receipts. The day's receipts were collected at the end of the shift at 2 o'clock when the store closes, and they would make sure they called at 1:30 and made sure they took whatever their day's receipts are and they transferred to gift cards, and it would be gone. So,
what do people need to be doing? I mean, how do we know?
Pay attention to who's there. If it sounds too good to be true, like that, that old adage. It usually is. If your boss is trying to buy you gift cards or send MoneyGrams, double check with the real boss. Don't hang up. The boss will understand. I've talked to a lot of owners and CEOs. The bosses will understand if you hang up and call back. So if it doesn't quite sound right, double check by all means. We had another one send gift cards because the boss was in jail. They didn't want to hang up and check the jail. It says, I only have one phone call. Don't waste this phone call. We'll waste the phone call. You can always call the jail. Don't rely on the information that scammers give you. Check it with a legitimate source. I have another one I could mention that I want to definitely talk about today was a business fraud email scam. Let's say you and I were getting ready to buy a house and we're talking to a financial company, let's say a large bank, and you and I are talking to the bank and sending emails back and forth. A lot of times the scammers will hack into those accounts, and just prior to us sending large amounts of money or getting ready to close the deal, $40,000, $50,000, anywhere from, I've seen hundreds of thousands of dollars, at the last second, the scammers will pretend to be the banking institution or be the lenders, and they will change part of the email address just slightly and say, send me the money. And you wire the money there, and we've tracked the money, and it's gone. So business fraud emails are on the rise, typically in Idaho right now. Again, where if you're doing a financial transaction, don't send any money out until you double check with the banking institution.
So whenever you get an email like that, even if you're in the midst of, like you said, closing on a house,
yes,
call the financial institutions.
And never reply to the email. If you do it, reply and say, okay, I'll send it, but then type a new one out so you make sure that the address that you're using is correct. They'll change it, like Bank of America. Let's say there might be two A's on the end or something.
And something that really your eye doesn't catch, actually.
Because you're so caught up in such a big deal, a financial deal that you're doing, that you want to make everything right. You don't catch little details. You kind of skip all the larger go to the largest things and miss the small details. And they're counting on that. They're counting on you not paying attention.
I want to thank you for coming in today and giving us this advice. My guest today, Boise Police Sergeant John Terry. Thanks so much.
Thank you.